The obvious connection is the following. The Sedra speaks about the Egyptians who were drowned in the Red Sea, and the song that Moshe and Bnei Israel and Miriam sang after that. And the Haftorah speaks about also a miracle of enemies drowning in Nachal Kishon. Okay, what happened, the Gemara says, is the following, that Sisera came to fight against Klal Yisrael, against Barak and Devorah. He brought 900 chariots of iron to the battle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the stars down and heated up the atmosphere. And it became so hot that their chariots became like hothouses. So they left their chariots to go cool off in Nachal Kishon. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a flood that flooded Nachal Kishon and drove them into the sea and drowned them. So the same kind of miracle of the enemies drowning in the sea. And then afterwards, Devorah sang her song. Okay, those are the simple connections between the Sedra and the Haftorah. Now let's see some further connections, and then we'll see some differences. Another connection is that there was a direct connection between the miracle in the time of Devorah and the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf insofar as the following. Says that when the Egyptians drowned, so the fish gathered around to eat the bodies. And God prevented them from doing that. And he commanded the angel of the sea to have the sea throw the bodies of the Egyptians up on the shore, in order that the Jews should see clearly that the Egyptians are dead and not have doubts that maybe, just like they came up on this shore, the Egyptians came up on the other shore and they're still alive. So in order to make it clear to the Jewish people that the Egyptians were dead, they had to see their bodies. Vayar Yisrael's Mitzrayim Neif al Tfas HaYam. They saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Meaning not that they were on the seashore and saw the Egyptians dead in the water, but they saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians on the seashore. The fish were upset. They were deprived of a meal. So God said, don't worry, I will make it up to you in the future, to your descendants. So they said, who's going to guarantee this? So God said, the Nachal Kishon, the Wadi of Kishon, will be the guarantor. And in the time, and not only that, God said, I'll give you a ribis, I'll give you, what's it called, interest. I'll pay you 1.5 times what you miss now. The meal now was 600 chariots. Barak had 900, Sisera had 900 chariots, 1.5 times. So they got paid with interest. And then the fish got their meal. So this was a completion of the miracle then, the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. The fish didn't get to eat the bodies. Here they got 1.5 times the amount of bodies to make up for it. So that's also a connection between the Sedra and the Haftorah. Another connection I saw is that it says that Devorah HaNeviah had in her the neshama of Tzipora, Moshe's wife. Okay, she was a Gilgul, but she had a connection with that neshama. Now, Tzipora did not sing the song at the sea because she didn't join the Jewish people with her father until after Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. It says, Vayishma Yitzra, what did he hear? The splitting of the Red Sea and the war with Amalek. So he came at earliest after those two occurrences, before the giving of the Torah or after the giving of the Torah. So that's an argument. But he didn't come, he wasn't with the Jewish people at the splitting of the Red Sea. So that means that Tzipora, his daughter, Moshe's wife, was not there when they sang the song of the sea. So the Rebbe Shem made it up to her also. And he put her neshama into Devorah, and she got a chance to sing through Devorah at this other miracle. That's why he says, Vatoshar Devorah Bayomahu, on that day she sang, meaning that on some other day she didn't sing, meaning in the original miracle she wasn't there to sing, and now she was able to sing through Devorah. Yeah.
Of course,
Right, but then after that, when they came, after that, Rashi says that when they came to Egypt, the elders said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you bringing us more people? We have enough trouble with the ones we have. So he sent his wife and children back to Midian, and they stayed there until they left Mitzrayim, and they came to join them in Midbar Sinai. That's what it says in Exodus 7. They came to the Midbar together with his wife and children. So Rizwah, Rashi says, Rashi brings it down, but the Torah says that Yisro and Tzipora and Moshe's children came to join them in Midbar Sinai. The question is, what happened to them when he brought them to Mitzrayim? That's what happened. When they got to the gates of Mitzrayim, the leader said, we don't need more Jews here. Right, and as a Jewish people, so don't bring us more Jews. Let them go back. They're not part of this, and we'll when we come out, they can join us. Right, okay. Right. Well, the Levium were not. No, they weren't part of the Shibu, but they were in Egypt. No. They weren't enslaved, but they were part of the whole Tzara. They didn't have to work, but they still were in Egypt, not in good circumstances. Okay, that's the similarities, the connections. Now let's see the differences. One difference was the song at the Red Sea was predominantly said by the men, Moshe Rabbeinu and the men. And only secondary did Miriam sing with the women. Here, the opposite. The main song was Devorah, and Barak was only secondary. The man was secondary. Here, the main song was by the woman, and the men were secondary. Another difference. The Shira of Kriyas Yamsu is predominantly for the future. What will be come into Eretz Israel and build the Beit HaMikdash? Much of the song is for the future. Whereas the song of Devorah is basically about the past that refers in a good portion to the giving of the Torah in the past. So it's another difference. Here's a song for the future. Here's a song that deals basically with the past. Last difference is a major difference is by Kriyas Yamsu, the Jewish people did nothing. They just were passive, quiet, and God did everything. And by Devorah, the Jewish people fought actively. They went out and fought. In fact, Devorah castigates the people who didn't come to fight. So by Kriyas Yamsu, the miracle was done by God, and the Jewish people were passive. Hashem Yelochim Lachem, the Atem Tacharishu. And in the time of Devorah, the reserves were called up. Everybody went into battle, and the Jewish people fought, and God did the miracle then in addition to their efforts, but not without their efforts. Okay. But even that, God cut short the prayer. Moshe Rabbeinu was praying, and God said, now's not a time for prayer, just move. You go, you just walk, and everything will happen. So even the prayer was minimal there. Okay, so why these differences? What is the connection? We see the connection, we see the differences, now let's understand why. Basically, the whole miracle of Kriyas Yamsu and the song that came after it served a purpose for the future. And therefore the song speaks about the future. The purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf is Vayiru Ha'amis Hashem, they feared God, Vayaminu Hashem Uvamosha Avdo. They had a certain amount of belief which they didn't have before. They had belief before, this strengthened their belief, and it strengthened their belief for the future, that they should be able to get the Torah, and continue with that belief throughout the generations. Kriyas Yamsuf was of a magnitude that it really brought home the idea there's a God. There wasn't any doubt in anybody's mind. Something the whole world heard and made an impression on them. That's why Yisro converted, because of Kriyas Yamsu. He was affected by the 10 plagues, by the going out of Egypt, but it was the splitting of the Red Sea that was the Makeh B'Patish, right, the final straw that made him convert. Because he really saw from that there's a God who punishes in kind, mida keneged mida, and the Egyptians got in a miraculous way what nothing couldn't have been happened any other way except from the divine. So the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf and the song that came after it was to found and create a basis for belief for the future. And therefore, the main thing was for the future, and therefore the song speaks about the future. It speaks about coming into Eretz Israel, building the Beis HaMikdash, based on the belief that they acquired through this miracle. And therefore, everything that happened in Kriyas Yam Suf was done in such a way to intensify their belief that this was divine. And therefore, this was a situation where they didn't fight at all. Normally we know that we have to do our part, and God then does his part. But we have to do our ishtadlus. We have to do our effort, put our effort in. You go to work, and God crowns your efforts with success and gives you a parnasa. You don't create a parnasa. You put in the effort, but you have to put in the effort. That's a prerequisite. That's a condition. So you have to fulfill your condition. I'll bless you with whatever you do. You have to do. And after you put in your effort, God then will do his part. Okay, that's how normally things work. Here, by the splitting of the Red Sea, it was an exception to the rule. The Jewish people were expected to do nothing. And God did everything. Why? Because there's always the danger that if we did something, then we would take the credit that it was our doing. Right? Once you're fighting, we're good strategists or whatever. The Six-Day War, which initially everybody said was miracles, right? Because they were expecting just the opposite. In time, there were enough books written to describe how the strategy and whatever and how stupid the Arabs were, and therefore it wasn't a miracle at all. It was, everybody understood that was what's going to happen, which is ridiculous if you lived during that time. But miracles get dissolved when there's a chance to say that we were the ones who caused it. So therefore here, since the whole purpose was to intensify this belief, the Rebbeinu Shlomo did it in such a way there was no doubt, there was no chance of saying that it wasn't divine, because we didn't do anything. We didn't fight at all. Secondly, in order to clear up any doubts that the Egyptians were drowned and they didn't come up on the other side, the fish had to be deprived their meal, and the bodies of the Egyptians had to come up on the shore, because it had to be clear, because this was the purpose of the miracle, to instill and ingrain belief in God, and therefore it had to be without any doubts and without any chances of mistaking what happened. Okay, that explains all of the, and therefore, we say Shiras Hayam every day in Davin, Oz Yoshim, because it's a ongoing strengthening of our belief. So we say it every day. It helps to strengthen our, when you remember it, remember what happened, and the miraculous events, it strengthens our belief. But the Shira of Devorah was not like that. That was the completion, the extension of what happened then. It completed it, just like it completed it by giving the fish their meal. Now we don't need to see the bodies. Now, once we have that basis of Emuna, now the continuation of it is, you do your part and you strengthen your Emuna. Now you have to extend it. You have to do your part and use the Emuna that you had to extend that into the normal world, into the regular world. So therefore, in Devorah's time, they had a fight. They had a fight, and at the same time realized that we're not the ones who are going to cause the victory. The victory God is causing, but he wants us to be involved. But once we have that belief from Kriyas Yam Suf, that that's the way it is, now we have to put it into the world where there's free choice, where we have to put in our effort, and at the same time believe that it's still God who's the one who is doing it. And therefore, this was the completion of that miracle, the extension, the continuation of it. So here's where the fish got their what was missing from them before. And also it's interesting that this was the completion of Matan Torah too. It says that when God said he's going to give the Torah, the mountain of Tabor came, and the mountain of Carmel. Carmel and the Tabor, both of those mountains came to offer their services of being the mountains where the Torah should be given up. And some say it doesn't mean literally physically the mountains came, but the atmosphere of those mountains came. They wanted to have a share. And God said, no, I'm not giving the Torah not on Mount Tabor and not on Mount Carmel, but on Har Sinai, because it's a low mountain. I want to show that Torah goes to humble people. So that's what it says, Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe got the Torah. Just that Sinai was humble, Moshe also was humble. That's why he received the Torah, just like the same reason why the Torah was given at Har Sinai. So those... Right. Okay, they decided they wanted to be the mountains that God should give it on. Right, could be. Wait till they come to Eretz Israel and give it on us. God said, no, I'm giving it on Har Sinai. And, but since you offered, you will compensate me. Har Carmel became special when Eliyahu proved that God was God against the Baal when the fire came down and consumed his offering on Har Carmel. And Har Tabor was the mountain where the miracle, right, in the Nachal, at the foot of Har Tabor, that's where the battle took place between Sisera and Baruch at the Gora, and that's where the miracle happened. So Har Tabor got its completion from what it offered at Har Sinai here, and the fish got their completion in Nachal Kishon. So this miracle was like a completion of what happened then. That was the foundation, this was the completion. If that's the case, then you can understand why the song over there was sung by a man, and over here by a woman. Because that is the different roles of men and women. It says that Ish v'Isha Shchina Shruya Beinehem. Man and woman, the Shchina is amongst them. Shchina is Yud and He, is God's name. Man has Ish, Yud. Isha has a He. This letter, otherwise the letters are the same. Aleph Shin, Esh. So it says, if God is between them, then Ish v'Isha. If God's not between them, they remain fire. Right, then there's no Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is when there's godliness in the house, there's divinity in the house. So Ish v'Isha, man and woman have God's name amongst them, the Yud for the man, the He for the woman. Now God's name, though, that's only half of God's name. The name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the He, you can say, okay, the He is double. So you have the Yud and the He, but where's the Vav? So he'd like to say, it doesn't say Ish, Isha, Shchina Shriya B'Nei. It says Ish V'Ish. The Vav is the Vav that combines them. That's the third letter of God's name. The Yud, the He, and the Vav is there. The Vav is the Vav that combines the Ish V'Isha Shchina Shruya B'Nei. In any case, God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, means Hoya Hove Yihiyah. God was, is, and always will be. So if you take the Yud and the He, the Yud is the first letter of which of those three words? Yihiyah. Right? The future. The He is the first letter of which of those? The either Hoveh or Hayah. But since Hayah and Hoveh both start with a He, the Hoveh is represented by the Vav. Can't be represented, the Hayah can't be represented by the Yud because the Yud is a separate letter. So the only different letter which could represent the present is the Vav. So you have the Yud is the future, Yihiyah, the He is the past, Hoya, and the Vav is the Hoda. So we have the Ish, the Isha, the man represents the future, the woman represents the past, and together they create the present. That's the Vav that connects them. So what's this idea that the man is the future? The man's role in Klal Yisrael is physically to go conquer the world. Right, that's his job, or to conquer it through Torah, learning Torah and coming up with new ideas in Torah and new halachas or whatever. That's the man's role. He's the future. The woman creates the anchor that puts the future into a framework that it is true to tradition. The woman is the past. Past being, she's the one who represents the Mitzgeret, the framework, that takes that future and makes it part of tradition. You can't have new things that are totally new. The new things in Klal Yisrael have to be Ne'eman, have to be, what's the word? Ne'eman? True, faithful, that's the word, thank you. Faithful to tradition. In fact, that's what it says in the Shira. Zet Kelivi Anveil. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Hiver mitzvah. Every Jew can beautify the mitzvah according to his special, unique taste. Not everybody does his mitzvah the same way. Basically, the laws are the same, but the enhancement of the mitzvah, the beauty of the mitzvah, is in the eyes of the beholder. What I think is a nice Hanukkah menorah, you may not think is so nice. You like an antique Hanukkah menorah, I like a modern art Hanukkah menorah. So what's beauty of a mitzvah is dependent on each person's personal taste. So every person has a right to enhance the Torah. But with one condition, Elokei Aviv Aromimenu, it's the God of my father, right, and I will extol him. Meaning, I didn't start this. I can't make up new things. What I can do is enhance that which is there and enhance tradition. But I can't make up new traditions. I once heard on the radio in America something from some reform group, some reform female rabbi, was saying how their reform group was creating new traditions. That's like an oxymoron. You can't create new traditions. Right, it's a great moron, yeah. Right, you can't create new traditions. Either it's a tradition or it's not a tradition. It's a new tradition, not a tradition. They were creating new traditions. So if it's traditional, you can enhance it. But if it's not traditional, then it's not Yiddishkeit, it's something new. Something new is not what the Torah was given. So on the one hand, you have to be able to create new enhancements, but they have to be true and faithful to the past. So the woman creates the misgeret, the framework within which those things that the man goes out and conquers and creates and makes new can be anchored to the past. So therefore, the Shira of Kriyas Yamsuf was for the sake of the future, was said by a man. The misgeret, the framework within which that belief and faith could function is what's created by the woman. So Devorah sang the song of the miracle that completed Kriyas Yamsuf and continued it and put it into a framework, whereas the original song, which was for the sake of the future, to create a reservoir of faith for the future, that was said by a man. That's why one was by a woman, one was by a man. And could be for that reason, on Parshas Bishalach, we read the Haftorah of Devorah. But when we read the Shiras Hayam a second time in the year, when do we do that? When's the second time? What? Shvi Shel Pesach. Seventh day of Pesach, we read again Shiras Hayam. And what's the Haftorah of Shvi Shel Pesach? Not Devorah. What is it? The Shira of David HaMelech, when he was successful over his enemies. Why? If it's the same Parsha, why over here do we read the Shira of Devorah on the regular Shabbos and the Shira of David on the, what's it called, on the Shvi Shel Pesach? But the answer is that on the regular Parsha, we're reading the Shira as part of the Torah, as a Shira. The Tashlum, the completion of that Shira, was the Shira of Devorah. Like we said, man, woman, complete, the fish got what they're supposed to have. That goes together. But on Pesach, we're not reading it as a Shira in the Torah. We're reading it as a commemoration of the redemption that happened then. So therefore, it's not the Parsha that's so important, it's the redemption of the day. And therefore, the song that represents more redemption, again for the future, is the Shira of David HaMelech. So the Haftorah Allah completes the Parsha. The Haftorah of Shvi Shel Pesach echoes the Shira Sayyad insofar that that was faith for the future, and this was the day of redemption. The song of David HaMelech is a song for the future when there'll be the final redemption. So those two things go together. And I wanted to connect this also with Tu B'Shvat. Okay? The even though it's a little past Tu B'Shvat, it's already about 4 or 5 B'Shvat. There's still a connection. Usually Tu B'Shvat and Vishalach come together. Usually Tu B'Shvat falls in the same week that we lay in Parshas Vishalach. This year it fell on Parshas Vishalach, on Shabbos Vishalach, Shabbos Shiva, it's Tu B'Shvat. Why is Tu B'Shvat the Rosh Hashanah for the trees? Why is this the day that commemorates what it means Rosh Hashanah for trees? Not that the trees, you know, blow shofar on this day and they get together and celebrate their New Year. All it means is that Trumas Maestras or whatever, in order to know when the year starts, because you can't take Truman Maestras from one year on the other, so for fruit of the tree, the year starts on Tu B'Shvat. So anything that blossomed before Tu B'Shvat is from the old year, is Tavshim Samach Bezes, what's it called, fruit? And anything that blossomed after Tu B'Shvat is Tavshim Samach Gimel's fruit. Why is Tu B'Shvat the time that makes a difference between past year or coming year? So Rashi says an interesting idea. He says, really, the Rosh Hashanah for trees is the first day of Tishrei, which makes the difference between Tavshin Samach Beis and Tavshin Samach Gimel. When did it change the year? The first day of Tishrei. Except any fruit that blossomed before Tu B'Shvat was blossoming from last year's rains. In other words, the rain went into the ground, goes into the tree, so the rains that happen in Tavshin Samach Beis create the sap from which fruit blossoms up till Tu B'Shvat. But after Tu B'Shvat, it's already not from the rains of last year, but the rains that happened since Tishrei go into the tree on Tu B'Shvat, and the sap that causes the fruit to blossom after Tu B'Shvat is from this year's rains. So it comes out that Tu B'Shvat really has both of these ideas. The one idea is the potential for the future, the rain itself, that happened already in Tishrei, but it didn't have its effect. It wasn't completed until Tu B'Shvat, when it actually affected the fruit. So the fruit that comes from that rain that happened in Tishrei will not start growing until Tu B'Shvat. Won't start blossoming. So therefore, it's only the fruit that comes after Tu B'Shvat, from blossoming after Tu B'Shvat, that is affected by the rains of this year. Anything that blossomed before Tu B'Shvat was affected by the rains of last year. So it's last year's fruit. So here we have this double idea, the idea of the future potential, the rain, and the actual blossoming, putting it into a framework, which is Tu B'Shvat itself. So we have on Tu B'Shvat, this idea of the Parsha also. On the one hand, Bishala, which set the potential for the future, and Shiras Devorah, which put it into a framework and extended it and continued it on. Okay, that's the connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah.